All right. So today for Coach's Corner, we are going to refer to an article written by Ben Carlson called What If You Only Invested at Market Peaks? A common question we get from clients is, when is the best time to invest? When things are going well and markets are hitting all-time highs, there's often apprehension of putting money into the market because of the possibility it goes down shortly thereafter. There's been a lot of work done to support the fact that investing when they have the money, regardless of market environments, is the best time to do so. But as humans, our emotions don't always adhere to those facts.
Yeah, I think that we have just been hearing this a lot lately, talking to clients, talking to prospective clients about like investing money if they have money. And they're just super, everyone seems to be apprehensive about, why would I do it now? Like, it's at an all-time high. And it just seems like such a goofy comment or thing for them to say when dollar cost averaging is not the preferred method, like from a mathematical standpoint, from a history standpoint. Now you might get lucky, but like if you have money, $100,000 that you want to invest, 9 times out of 10 is not in your favor to dollar cost average 10 grand in over the next 10 months. You're better off investing it right away, all of it, because we know the longer your money's invested, the better chance it has to do. And people just don't wrap their brain around that for some reason. And this is the same thing. It's like, if I have money and I have a long-term perspective, it doesn't matter where the market is right now. Because if I'm investing for the next 10, 15, 20, 30 years, you're better off investing now. So it doesn't matter where it is, unless there's like a short time frame for when that money's needed.
Right.
And that's what I don't think people get. Like, if you have the $100,000 or $10,000, is that earmarked for something? No, it's earmarked for my retirement. Well, then it should go in right now. I don't care if the S&P's at 5,200, because 10 years from now, it's going to be higher than that. 15 years, it's going to be higher than that. 20 years, it's going to be higher than that. I mean, the number that he references in his article, let me find it. Like, it's just wild. And it's the one that really stuck with me on this chart. Like, because I can remember very vividly, I can't remember 1987. I wasn't investing in 1987. But I can certainly remember March of 2000. And I can certainly remember October of 2007. And if you invested in March of 2000, you immediately lost 50% of your money. But now 20 years later, your money's 220% more. Like, that's just crazy. Like, I bet nobody would believe that.
Assuming you stayed invested over that whole time.
Assuming you stayed invested and didn't freak out over that 20-year period.
Yeah.
23-year period at any point.
Right.
Because then all bets are off. But even 07, like, if you invested in October of 07, you immediately lost 57%. That's crazy. But 10 years later, you have 105% more money than you did when you started.
And that's the concern people have, right? When they are making these decisions, is that at all-time highs, immediately there becomes, right, a new data point on this chart. And that's kind of the emotional obstacle you have to get around, which is what you're describing. The reality of the time frame in front of you is going to benefit you more by getting the money invested. But looking at this data, there's going to be a lot of people who say, well, I'd rather have less on the, you know, at the end of that than see my money cut in half immediately.
Yeah. And I think my comment about dollar cost averaging has probably got a lot of people saying like, I'm wrong and I'm an idiot. But most time frames, the market is up. If you just happen to decide not to dollar cost average in one of those rare instances when the market goes down, yes, you would have been better off dollar cost average.
Right.
But most times you won't be. You will be better off getting it invested now. And like, don't even look at it. Who cares? Mm-hmm. If you don't need it right now, you don't need it 5 years from now, you don't need it 10 years from now, then don't even look at it. And don't even try to go back and calculate which scenario would have made you better off.
Yeah, so the recent one that's kind of, you know, within memory for a lot of people is the 2000s, right? So you had the internet and tech thing, which kind of peaked in March of 2000, and then there was a subsequent basically cut in half. I'm talking about the S&P 500 in this case. And then, remember, so in 2000 and 2001, 2002 were all down years. And then if you held on, you clawed your way back, but then you had to deal with 2007 and 2008, which was another, you know, 50%+ decline. So by the time you get to 2010, that decade, you're not even, you're barely underwater, but you're not quite back to where you started. So like incredibly painful 10 years.
Yeah.
When it's all said and done. And by the way, that's an example of what would happen over 10 years, maybe 5 out of 100 times. Like, it's rare.
I mean, they coined it like the lost decade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if you have more than 10 years to work with at that time, so let's say you had 20 years, the numbers right here, you would have made 219% on your money when that next decade was said and done. So the point about, like, if you have any time frame at all to work with, you shouldn't care at all about the level of the market. And on the flip side, you know, we know people that, you know, the S&P got back to an all-time high in 2013 or 14, I want to say, recovering from the financial crisis and all that. Well, it's at an all-time high, and people are saying, well, it's an all-time high. I'm going to wait for it to pull back. Well, what's happened from that point in time, 2014-ish.
Where was it?
The S&P was at like 2,100 or something like
that. It's doubled, more than doubled.
It's way more than doubled since then, way more. So it's psychological, but it's also like, I think a lot of times we hear people say, well, it's at an all-time high. We're just going to wait until it like pulls back a bit, and then we'll get in. Well, in that case, you never got in.
Right.
Ever. Or not. Yeah, you sat there for 9 years, 10 years, and you're still sitting there with what you had in cash.
Yeah.
And you will never get those returns back.
And I also challenge that because of the emotional element of it, meaning we're going to wait till things pull back. Oh, and then we're going to be able to convince you to get in, right? When shit starts to hit the fan and there's some other thing, a pandemic, something, an election year, whatever it is, something else that we're dealing with in the markets or in the country or in the economy. And at that point, you're going to say, oh, now's a good time. Mm. I mean, we don't work like that. Humans don't operate that way. And the people who are saying, yes, that's exactly when I would do it. Okay, 1 out of 100 maybe end up pulling that trigger.
Yeah.
But the environment becomes scarier and you're then going to deploy your money. It's just way less likely.
It's like, I mean, maybe this is a bad analogy, but it would be like if you're buying a house and real estate prices are at an all-time high, which they often are. I mean, you kind of don't say, I'm assuming you can afford the house, right?
Right.
You don't say, well, I'm going to wait for a little pullback here.
Right.
You know, why? Because you kind of know that over time, the price of your house is going to be higher than it is than now, even if it's an all-time high price, right?
I mean, maybe not a year later.
Yeah.
But when you go to sell it 10, 15 years from now or longer, it's going to be worth more.
Yeah.
Just like investments. Yeah. So if you're not buying your house now with the intent to sell it, six months or a year later, then yeah, you're going to make, it's going to be worth more. I don't want to say you're going to make money on it.
Right.
It's going to be worth more. And I'm obviously like, if the decisions are put it all in now, I don't want to do that, dollar cost average or never invest it. Yeah. Obviously dollar cost average.
Sure.
If that makes you feel better, if that will get you in the market over some time frame, absolutely do that. But certainly do not sit on the sidelines and wait until you think there's a pullback happening.
Yeah, and the math behind the dollar cost averaging is pretty simple. It's basically if you're buying something, if you're buying in every month, let's say 6 out of 10 months, the markets are up, and I'm making that up, but it's kind of close to that. So by that logic, you're going to be paying higher prices 6 out of 10 times and not 4 out of 10 times. So
it makes perfect sense, man. And I didn't, I didn't even understand that until I was going through the CFP curriculum. And they're like, yep, dollar cost averaging is not more favorable in most cases than just investing. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like dollar cost, we've been told all of our lives that dollar cost averaging is the way, but it's so simple. Like when you think about if the market's up 13% this year and you're going to invest $12,000 in the market that year, you're better off putting all 12 grand in January to get the full 13% return versus doing $1,000 a month. Mm-hmm. I was blown away, like totally opened my eyes. I was blown away by it.
I think your point's a good one, though. We can probably end there. That like, if it means doing nothing, then dollar cost averaging is good and serviceable. But if you're debating between the advantages or disadvantages of kind of a lump sum investing in an all time high market, do it. Just get in.
Yep.
Yep.